The good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Good evening, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please make sure to subscribe. Help me to the road to 2K. And you can follow me on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This evening, I'm delighted to announce our special guest, Alice Abrahams, who's the host of Alice Talks Football, and she is a Man United fan. This is the final match preview of the season. I'll be doing a pre-match talk show. And after Man United's defeat in the Europa League final, Man United versus Aston Villa at Old Trafford. In the Premier League on Sunday is a 4 p.m. kickoff. It's the final day of the Premier League season. Whatever happens, Aston Villa must win. And other results and permutations will come into it as well. Great Chairman Show, Alice. I'm absolutely delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. So, we're going to talk about the game then. So, at the moment, you're not a very happy Man United fan either.
No, I don't think any Man United fans are happy.
No, it's a bad time.
Yeah.
I mean, you just want the season to be over. No?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, probably lucky for you, I don't think anyone's head's going to be there on Sunday. I think the players have gone. I think the fans have gone. I think this is one of those nuisance games. Like, honestly, I just want to throw the academy players in.
Okay. So what are you expecting from the game on Sunday?
An Aston Villa win. Probably Man United not scoring any goals and probably a sluggish performance, to be honest. I don't know, maybe Amrin will shout at them. Maybe they'll have to show some kind of response because last night was awful. But I think the atmosphere and environment at United isn't good. We can't score goals. You've been keeping quite a few clean sheets lately. So I can see Villa winning 3-0.
Well, whatever happens, we need to win. And nothing else for us would be enough. I think it's important for Aston Villa, though, they stay focused on the job in hand. And you know, it needs to just like cut off what's going on around them. Just the other results are going to come into this as well, winning this game.
Yeah, I think if you win, you get Europa League, right? But if you win and other point teams drop points, you get Champions League, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and look, over the years, at Aston Villa, we have a great record at Old Trafford. You're a bogey ground for us. The last time we beat you was in 2021. I think it was Courtney House that scored that day.
Oh, I remember, yeah. I think I was at that game.
Yeah, that's it. Dean Smith was the manager, that was it.
Yeah, yeah. You sort of... Was that before you sold Grealish?
Yeah, I think it was before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I was at that game.
I mean, on paper, we should beat Man United. We now have an absolutely shocking season. Appalling.
Awful, awful. We could finish 17th. If Spurs get a result, a draw, and we lose, we'll finish 17th for trophyless. You can't get worse than that, other than relegation.
It's the worst Man United team that everybody ever... that we've ever seen. And you're a long way away from where you used to be. You're a long way from that.
Yeah. it's worrying how far off. I mean, there's one thing when we used to finish sixth or seventh or eighth and we'd sack a manager and we'd call it an awful season, but 16th and not winning a Premier League game in 3 months, not able to score goals, it's a new low.
Because there's a big class between you and Liverpool now. You look at the gap between the two of them now.
Yeah, it's really depressing to see Liverpool equal our title record and see us in 16th. It's the perfect season for a Liverpool fan.
Yeah. And after the Europa League final, I'm at the dressing room, it's very low on morale
and mentality. I can imagine. There's obviously dressing room rumours. You don't know what's true or not, but big fallout with Garnacho. Players don't like Onana. You know, all those rumours coming out. Obviously, Garnacho's comments post-match. Bruno's agent is saying Bruno deserves better. There's a lot of things being stirred around.
And it's got mentally, it'd be hard to recover as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. It's not just the ability, it's the mental side. And you know, I think the club itself is just so bad off because you've even got just the staff unhappy. Apparently the staff were booing Ratcliffe and the Glazers every time they came on the TV and they're upset because more people lose their jobs and it spreads up to the players that are unhappy. Yeah. You know, social media, FC, the drama's going on. There's a lot of unhappy people. So it's not a nice environment at the moment.
As you're looking really that you haven't got relegated this season. It wasn't for the bottom three. But where we are now, it would be a different story.
Oh, honestly, Bruno saved us. I think if we were going to get relegated, I think they would have just got rid of Amorim. That would have been catastrophic.
Do you like Amorim? What do you like of him?
Mixed thoughts, to be honest. I feel like I can't turn on him because he's not had a window and we didn't replace Rashford. You know, we let Rashford go to you, who would have been our best attacker in the final if we had him yesterday. Didn't replace Anthony, although Anthony was bad for us. We never replaced him and he's doing well. Dorgu was just a young left wing back signing because Luke Shaw and Malassia. And Dorgu was the Malassia replacement because we loaned out Malassia. He's had injuries. He's not had any back in, but I'm not convinced. I think if Ten Hag was the manager, he would have beat Tottenham yesterday. I do think that, but I don't know if Ten Hag would have got to the final.
Well, it's a big summer for Man United. A massive overhaul is needed.
Massive one. I mean, sales is the most important thing, and attacking signings. That's the big thing, and getting some of the bad eggs out.
And going back to the game, but you know, Emery, I think he needs a positive game plan. And I think we need to manage the game defensively. I'll be tempted to start Mings in this game, actually. Because communication, you know, like, is how high it is. Leadership as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hoyland doesn't seem to cause any issues, but he did score against you guys last year. But I think if you can beat us physically, that's why Man United struggle in the Premier League, is we get bullied physically in attack by defences, and Mings can do that.
Just Hoyland, he likes the running behind. I think Man United, you get a lot of joints in more of the wide areas, I think. So it's important that we didn't defend the wide areas.
I think you just got to nullify the attackers. The wide areas is probably where the most dangerous. Hoyland doesn't seem to get too involved, but I don't know if Garnacho will play because of this fallout of Amorim, but he's probably the most, him and Ahmad are probably the biggest names in your face.
Yeah, then give the ball away in key areas as well. I think I need to think about that. And also, you know, Bruno Fernandes. Don't give him too much time and space tonight. You know the way he switches play? He likes those long-range passes.
I mean, if you keep Bruno quiet, we definitely won't score a goal.
Bruno Fernandes, he's been linked with a Saudi club, I heard.
Yeah, it's one to watch. I think no European football. I think Bruno will want out. But he said he wants to leave for trophies, not money. So it'll be interesting if it's Saudi or not.
Yeah. So let's talk about Marcus Rashford. So do you think Aston Villa will sign Rashford permanently? What do you make of the situation?
I think if you get Champions League, your chances are increased because obviously you get more money for being in the Champions League, so you have more money to bring Rashford in as wages. And I also think a bit of it depends on Barcelona. Barcelona have interest in Diaz and Rashford. I think Rashford's dream move has always been Barcelona, but I think if he doesn't go to Barcelona, I think he'll go to Villa, because I think £40 million, I think, is what Man United will sell him for. And I think that in this market is a good price, to be honest. When you see what some players are going for that are a lot worse than Rashford, and he's Premier League proven, I think that's a good price.
I think it depends on personal ambitions. I think Rashford will take a big wage cut. And I think it'll depend on Champions League qualification.
Yeah, definitely Champions League, I think, as well. Not just for Rashford to want to come. I think he'd want to come anyway, but I think, I guess, for the financial thing as well. He apparently is willing to take wage cuts to get out of Man United. And if you watch the final, I think he definitely will be willing to take a wage cut to get away.
Yeah, and you know, in the World Cup's coming up next year. So you're going to be consistently, you know, playing regularly to get in the England squad.
Definitely, he'll want regular minutes. And I think at Man United, it's you go there and you don't get into international team. If he goes to Villa and impresses, which he did, Hugo already called him up. So if he can stay fit and he's away from United, I think he gets back in the England squad.
Because Rashford, he's been a real impact since he joined Aston Villa. I think he completely changed Aston Villa's season. Just like Asensio, really.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to be in the Champions League race before January, and you've sort of gone on this amazing run second half of the season. I think you're unbeaten at home, bar the first game as well. So defensively, you've improved as well. I think, you know, players, is it like Mattsson? I think he's got a bit better second half of the season.
I think he's our first choice left back.
Yeah. I think he struggled a little bit to begin with defensively, but he's impressed. And then I think Camara, I think when he's fit, you definitely are better. Yeah. But the second half of the season, I think having Marlon, Asensio, Rashford, all as options, because I think Leon Bailey's not really hit the levels this season, I think has been a massive boost for you.
And since Rashford has left Man United, I think he's been rejuvenated.
Yeah, there's no surprise there. Even Anthony, you know, I was all for Anthony going. I never wanted Rashford to go because I always said Rashford, Xerxes, Ahmad is our best front three. And I was annoyed with the decision to let go of Rashford, particularly on loan. But anyone that leaves Man United seems to be rejuvenated. But I think with Rashford in that PSG game, don't think he should have been subbed off.
Yeah.
He looked like Rashford. That is the Rashford I look at. And that's why I like Rashford, because sometimes you have to get that Rashford out. It's a confidence player, environment player. But when Rashford is Rashford and he's playing his game, he's one of the best players to me.
I think he's an experienced goal scorer. He always seems to score in the big moments. That's what I like about him as well.
Yeah, he was reliable. Penalty versus PSG, you know, the amount of goals he's got versus Liverpool and City. In Ten Hag's first season, he managed to get 30 goals. You know, he's a goal scorer. You know, he's a confidence player, but he can score.
Yeah, he's sort of like a big moment player.
Yeah, I think we've missed that, Man United. We're not very good at scoring goals. And we had, under Oli, Bruno and Rashford were the moments players. Even if we weren't great at times under Oli, we came second under Oli massively because of the seasons Bruno and Rashford had. And I think, you know, any team, they need a moments player in those big games, because sometimes, even if you're not at your best, if you have a player that can produce in the moment, that's how you can win games.
So you're a fan of Rashford. Goodness, some Man United fans, they couldn't wait to see the back of him, could they?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd been frustrating for a year, but with Man United fans, they like to just pinpoint one player as the problem and then think, get rid of them player and we'll be better. And it's kind of like, well, at the end of the day, even if Rashford's not at his best, he's still better than everybody else in the squad. It's the environment thing, you know. People wanted Fred and McTominay gone, they've gone. People wanted De Gea gone, he's gone. People called Ronaldo the problem. I think most Man United fans like Rashford, but there's a big section of fan base online that wanted to call in the problem, and people don't like him. But like, I've always liked him. I've always been a fan. There's a big percentage of United fans that do like Rashford, but there's probably maybe like 30% that seem to be anti-Rashford. But I think they'll watch him go to another club and be like, oh, we should have never have sold him. He's one of those. But I know his quality, so I'll always back him.
He's not wondering, like, he didn't want him.
I know.
You can clearly see the minute he came through the door.
That annoyed me. That's what one of my red flags around Amorim is. He wants Rashford out right away. When even though I don't think Rashford's a striker, he's definitely best position left wing. Yep. He's still better than Hoyland. He still offered more than Hoyland, and Amorim wanted him gone within a few games. Maybe because Rashford's head wasn't there. But that was a red flag. It's also Amorim doesn't, I think, really know how to use Maino or get the best out of Maino, and that worries me. And as a Man United fan, I want to build around academy talent. I want to build around Rashford. I want to build around Kobbie Maino. And obviously, we've got young players like Lenny Yoro and Amad that are good players. I want to build around them, and that's the one thing I didn't like about Amorim.
The big decision for us to Villa is with Rashford or Ollie Watkins. It's not which one do they go for. Because Watkins has been consistent this season.
I mean, I think for me, Rashford plays best on the left wing. I know he's been playing over Watkins a little bit when he was fit. But I would have played Rashford on the left, Watkins up top, to be honest. I know Ramsey's played on the left a little bit, but I would have stuck Rashford left wing. I think that's where he does his best work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've enjoyed some of his performances with Rashford. I like his pace as well. Like, he's always full of energy.
Yeah, I think he's hungry to impress. He's hungry to play football. The last 10 or 12 games under Amorim, he didn't even play. He got frozen out. And I didn't like that again from Manchester United. Shame about his injury, but I think he was really hungry. And hopefully we see that again next season.
We've got Ollie Watkins. I think for me, I mean, he's a complete striker. He's not just the goals he brings. Because Watkins gets the assist, he works hard. And I think it's his hold-up play, which is also a good thing that Watkins has.
Yeah, I think Watkins is a good player. I think he's a little bit underrated by some people. I think he's what he's done the last few seasons. You know, he can score. Like, he might miss the odd chance here and there, but he's a lot better than most strikers.
Is it only that broke the Premier League goal scoring record for Villa? He's beat Agbonlahor's record.
Oh, wow.
75 goals.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So it'd be nice if he stays, so then he could get the 100th goal.
Yeah, I mean, if I was him, I'd push for that. I think his dream move was Arsenal, but I think they're going to go for Sesco. I think he'll stay.
Yes, we'll come to one last question then. So, what needs to be done at Man United next season? And who do you think will leave in the summer?
We'll get this graphic
on the screen.
Good question. There's so much to do at Man United this summer. It's a where to start. I mean, it'd be great if the Glazers could just walk out. But for me, I think it is, you've got to do a big clear out. I think Amorim's going to stay. I think Amorim will be safe. Look, I'd like to keep Rashford, but I think he's probably gone. Casemiro, I think, could go. The wages, Anthony gone, Sancho gone, Bayindir gone, Malacia gone. Sure, again, the wages is difficult. I'd keep Xerxes, you know, to sell Hoyland. But apparently Man United need 40 million for Hoyland because of how much he cost 2 years ago. We still got to pay 40 million of his transfer fee off, so it's a bit of a PSR loophole there. If Mason Mount was possible to sell, I'd sell him, but I don't think we'll do that. I think all the players on this screen will be sold, bar maybe Xerxes. Yep. I think he'll stay. Yep. I wouldn't be shocked if there is maybe a Nana sale, potentially Garnacho as well. Maybe
we've been linked with Onana. You've been linked to Martinez.
Oh, yeah, we have. I don't think he'd leave Villa to come to us, but I think he'd be mad to leave Villa for Man United right now. I'd get it if we'd won the league, but you're better off at Aston Villa right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. But also, I think there's a big rebuilding job that he did. And I think you need to get rid of a lot of the dead wood.
So much to do, so much to get rid of. I think if we sell well and we replace them well, that's going to be key. And that's something we've not done well. We spent, you know, 72 million on Hoyland, 85 million on Antony, 55 million on Mason Mount, 50 million on Nana. We have to be smart this summer, and that doesn't come with Man United.
It's not going to be a quick fix either. I don't think it's not going to just take you the summer window, I think. It's going to take you a couple of windows.
Yeah, it's going to be a long wait. And the problem is, 3 years ago, we were told we're in a three-year rebuild. 6 years ago, we're told we're in a three-year rebuild. And it's every rebuild, we get a bit of hope, and then it crashes down. And it's like, how long have we got to wait?
We'll get you some graphic on the screen as well. So we've got transfer history. Because also, I mean, Man United do a massive amount of debt as well. Well, actually,
oh, yeah, I know. It's. I think we've got 85 million to pay off or something in player fees. We've got all the debt. We've got all the loan fees, as you put there. Wages. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a mess. And sadly, a lot of the staff are paying for it.
Yeah. So do you think next season then, do you think Amarin will be there?
I think Amarin will be here next season, but I think if we get to Christmas time and things aren't looking good, I think he'll be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. There needs to be a better structure in place. I mean, for the whole world, there hasn't been a good structure in place.
No.
I think Man United, there's no plan B.
Yeah, you're right. It's worrying. And they brought Dan Ashworth in to improve the structure, and he went after 5 months, and you know, there's big question marks around what's really going on at this club.
Yeah. We're also talking about financially. I'm getting very pedal about PSR as well. Because obviously, in the summer, we're going to be forced off the bike. A lot of big sales. I don't really believe in, you know, selling your best players.
Yeah, I think they'll look at academy players. I think Garnacho will go for PSR. I think the close comments, Amarin's comments on each other. I think if you know, Napoli potentially 50 to 60 million, United will see that's pure profit. I think that's what United are going to do to get around PSL.
Yeah. You know, we're still not completely out of it ourselves yet.
Yeah.
Martinez is supposed to be there. I think we're going to sell. I think Leon Bailey's another one. I think he's supposed to be leaving.
Yeah. I heard something about him maybe going to Saudi, but I don't know how strong that is.
Yeah. You can go up to Man United. I think you need to be a lot harder to beat. And your defence is all over the place. Shocking.
Yeah. I mean, we keep making mistakes at the back, and we can't score goals, and we don't have the physicality in midfield. It is just, we need everything.
And I mean, it really affects your mental health.
Oh, it's painful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about what from years ago? I mean, do you think Sonic's fags, or you think sits there? I mean, it's been like a downward spiral, really.
I know. Every time we think we hit a rock bottom, like coming fifth under Louis van Gaal and just missing out on top four, but winning the FA Cup, but that wasn't good enough. We sat van Gaal. Right now, we would love fifth in an FA Cup, you know, and then we had seventh under Rolli or under Ragnick, and that was a disgrace. But this is a new level. 8th, then 16th. It's just a new level of bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's worrying, you know, for Man United fans. Very, very worrying.
Yeah.
Before we finish, I'm not sorry. What's your score prediction?
Honestly, it depends on the lineup, but right now I'm thinking 3-0 Aston Villa. Really, just flat of confidence. I feel like you'll be up for it. We won't. 3-0. Yeah.
I'm going to go a 1-0 Aston Villa win away from home. We'll keep a clean sheet, I think, as well.
Yeah, I brought Aston Villa defenders into my FPL. I think you'll keep a clean sheet.
Before we leave, I'll just have a little check as any comments before we go. All right, so we've got Aaron Thornton. Great episode, Chad. I've got my new thumbs. I'm going to book. Keep it up on the screen at the moment. Just can't see this. Yeah. Going to Old Trafford on Sunday. Is there any truth to that?
I think there will be. I know that there are fans planning on boycotting. A lot of the time there's a boycott, there's still a lot of people there. But I think after this Europa League, I think nobody has motivation to go to the game. So I think there'll be a lot of fans boycotting.
Well, the kid is at the bottom of it. Get there. Yeah, we've got Nicky D as well. Oh, it's playing for your icons, Chad. So you deserve your flowers for that. I really enjoyed speaking to you, Alice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed today's chat. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, if you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe. Make sure to give this episode a like. Make sure to smash the likes. Make sure to give it a share. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Also, if you're listening to this podcast via audio, please leave us a good review on Spotify or Apple. Thank you so much, Alice, for your time.
Thank you for inviting me on.
I'm going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever and Up the Villa.